All right, everybody, welcome. It's Elaine with Impact ADHD's Parent Success System. It is Thursday afternoon, 1 o'clock group on January 23rd, and today's topic is curiosity, one of my favorites. And I think I probably always say they're one of my favorites, but I'll tell you why this one is in a little while. So let's start with check-ins a little bit. How is everybody doing? What's been going on since our last conversation?
I was out of town at our last conversation, but listened to the call. I was by myself visiting family and childhood friends for a few days, which was awesome. I'm still trying to be in the relaxed mode that I was there. So,
reveling in the joy of it.
Yes.
So what was your take listening to the call about triggers and stress cycle and all of that? What did you get from it?
I really liked the piece about, and I'm trying to remember the exact terminology, but not reacting to it but responding to what was going on. So I'm going to start thinking about that when
Great.
I feel triggered.
Great. Yeah, that just awareness of it can be so huge.
Yep.
Okay. Anything else for you, Rebecca?
Nope.
Okay. About anybody else? What did you notice after last week's call? What have you been trying? What's working? What's not?
This is Christy. I was going to try the, drink of water technique and, for Caleb out of the Camelback bottle you talked about, and that did not go for him. It just made him madder. It just triggered him more, I think.
So let's narrow in on what happened. Can we play with it for just a minute?
Sure.
Okay. So tell us the scenario when you tried it. Tell us what happened.
Oh, I don't remember exactly because it was like right after, like the day after that call. I can't remember what he was doing or why he was getting mad, but just like, I see that you're upset. I want you to try to take a drink of water. I'm going to take a drink of water. He just got even more mad and threw it. And
so when he was mad, what did you notice was the first thing you did? It was a helpful suggestion. What?
I tried to recognize that he was mad. I said to him, I can see that you're mad.
Great. So you acknowledged him.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful. And then what?
And then I said, I don't remember exactly, but let's try to calm down. I'm going to take a drink of water. I want you to take a drink of water.
Okay. So what do you think he was reacting to?
I don't know.
Okay.
They've already been past the point of return.
Well, and there's definitely that sometimes they're just past it, and you got to sort of let them get to a point.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody else hear anything in that scenario that you want to contribute to or add to? So the question that comes up for me, Christy, is how do you think it would have been received if you had had the conversation with him when he wasn't in the moment of being triggered?
The conversation of taking a drink of water?
Mm-hmm. Using that as a strategy.
We talked about it a little bit beforehand.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Not that moment, like the day before.
Okay.
Like that night. I talked to him a little bit about it. He didn't say anything. It was in one ear, out the other, it seemed like. So.
Okay. So you tried a strategy.
I think part of it,
go ahead.
He doesn't like water very well. so that's part of it. But the thing was, it said it had to be water. That couldn't be another drink that it didn't do the same thing.
Right. Yeah. So what worked in that situation for you?
I just ended up walking away and let him calm down. I didn't do anything else. I didn't push.
Okay.
The strategy didn't work, so I moved on.
OK. So when that happens, what do you decide? Do you decide, well, that strategy didn't work, I'm done with it? Or do you want to try to tweak it and make it work?
I might try it again. Yeah, it didn't work in that moment, so I wasn't going to push the matter.
Great.
You know, he's used to doing. So
let's talk about how you can tweak it and try it again. Just with that awareness, what would you do differently in the future?
Maybe even role play it before, not just talk about it.
Okay.
But
great.
Another time, actually have him do it. Okay, this is what we're going to do when you feel yourself getting upset. This is what you do. Take a drink of water, suck it out of this bottle, whatever, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And let's try it next time.
Okay. So what I hear there is practice.
Mm-hmm.
But before that, even is raising his awareness to using a strategy at all, right?
Mm-hmm.
And sort of getting his buy-in to the process.
Mm-hmm.
What about giving him choice? Where is there room to give him choice in that environment?
We can give him a choice between maybe, okay, do you need to take 10 deep breaths right now, or do you want to drink water? Because he knows the deep breath technique.
Mm-hmm.
He
Great.
Uses it sometimes, not a lot, but sometimes.
Right. So, fabulous. So, recognizing the need to reclaim the brain, right?
Mm-hmm.
But giving him a choice about how he wants to do it so that two things. One, he begins to see that he's got a toolbox, even if
mm-hmm.
he doesn't use it every time. And the other is that you're not telling him what to do. You're helping him make a choice.
Mm-hmm.
Because
yeah.
what I heard in what you said initially, and you know, however the language was basically you saying you've got to drink water. So that was adding you telling him something to do on top of his being mad.
Sure.
But if you have a few tools that he can pull from, and you have sort of a pre-existing agreement that he gets to choose a tool, then you're putting
mm-hmm.
him back in the role of making a decision. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Definitely, he needs a choice, yeah.
Yeah. So will you try it again?
Yeah.
Good. Okay.
I think I'll try it as an option. I mean, we'll practice it, and we'll try it as an option. If I'm really honest,
yeah.
I don't think he'll ever choose it, but I can at least give him another chance at it and see if he...
Right. Well, and he may not...
Right.
He may if he likes a particular sippy bottle. It may be that he wants to go to the Target and buy his, you know, his special, you know, calm down, sucky Zuza straw water bottle. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah, I can try that.
Yeah. Somebody else has joined us. Just want to find out who's here.
Hi, it's Joanne here.
Hi, Joanne. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. It's my first time on with you.
Great. Welcome. Tell me where you're
thank
calling
you.
From.
I'm Sammamish, Washington.
Beautiful. And where are you? What group are you usually in? Or are you now in this?
This
group
one. It's my first time. Yeah, this is the one that was the right age group and was the right time for me of the day. So.
Beautiful. Welcome, welcome. Well, right now we're just doing check-ins from the conversation we had last week on managing triggers, and then we'll move into this week's content in a few minutes.
Okay.
And on the phone with us, just so that you. Here, where we are, we have about five people on the call today, and we have Rebecca, Christy, Cheryl, Joelle, and Joanne. Did I miss anybody? Cool. Okay. So, Christy, thanks for sort of sharing. And what I appreciate a lot about what you just did is that you shared what didn't work, and we're open to figuring out how to make it, try it again and make it work. Because what we know about a lot of this stuff is that the strategy is not often going to work the first time. We have to be willing to tweak it and fail forward with it.
Mm-hmm.
So thanks for bringing that example. Anybody else have anything from managing triggers or pulling away from the stress cycle that you want to share, what's worked or what didn't work?
I can go. This is Joelle.
Mm-hmm.
I can't say I solved our problems with our triggers, but I think I identified a little more clearly one of my son's triggers, I think, is being rushed. And so, you know, like getting to school or going to a birthday party and that kind of thing, it just seems to deteriorate more if we're in a rush. And then I think one of mine, it has a lot to do with kind of the social acceptance of things. Because we were heading to a birthday party, and I was having him draw on the present, and he started scribbling, and he wrote his name with the letters out of order. And I was getting really, really mad. And I was thinking, this is stupid. Like, why do I care so much? Because, you know, the end result is, like, he's not being respectful to the person, but also, you know, it's kind of embarrassing if the parents think he can't write his name. And I don't know. It's stupid, right? But I had my husband take over. I'm like, I can't do this. Like, I need to go take a breath. But we were also a bit of a rush to get to the birthday party, so it was a bad combo. So I think we're really working on trying to get started a little earlier so we're not – so we do have the time to go through those strategies.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still a bit of a challenge, I would say.
Yeah. But when you're clear on what you're working on, that will – shift, because, you know, getting out early is a challenge too.
Right. Right.
And I remember years ago when we began really shifted things on our family morning routine, it had to do with the kids finally realizing how long it really took them in the mornings. And us realizing how long it really took them in the mornings. And it really, everything changed when I set my alarm for 15 minutes earlier, which I really, 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 really did not want to do.
I know, that's what I'm resisting, but it's got to happen. It does. And especially, like, both my kids are full contact sport in the morning. I have a 3-year-old almost and a 5-year-old with ADHD.
Right.
I mean, I dripped them up from school, and I took my coat off and walked home because I was sweating. And it's, what, like 5 degrees outside? People looked at me like I was crazy. But it's, like, full on.
I like that description, full contact sport. Well, and there may be some question, too, around how do you take advantage of that and use that to your advantage? You know, that's not the topic for today, but that there's a physicality to their mornings. How do you use that to help them get going, get moving, maybe use playfulness? I have one client I work with where they shifted their mornings because they started tickling their son awake.
Mine wakes up by himself.
Which is a beautiful thing.
Or by his sister.
Cool. So for you, it was really about getting really, really specific on where, taking aim, where that real challenge area is showing up.
Yes.
Cool. All right. Anything else?
No.
Okay. Anybody else? How'd it go for you this last week or so? Cheryl or Joelle, either of you want to share anything before we move on?
I just went.
Oh, sorry.
That was Joelle.
Got that. Sorry. I meant we're
both. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. And Joanne, I'm assuming you have not gotten a chance to listen to last week's, but I don't want to make that complete assumption.
No, I didn't. I haven't had a chance to listen to that.
Okay. So let's move into today's topic. Before we do that, I want everybody to take a minute to identify what's the area of focus that you're taking aim on this week. So take a moment with yourself. Try to get as specific as you can. What do you want to take aim on? And when someone's ready to share, let me know.
This is Chrissy. I want to try and, like, if we're relating to the topic of curiosity, just trying to be curious and find out what's going on when he's so hurtful to us, you know, just the impulsive hatefulness that he spews.
Mm-hmm. So you want to get curious about what's going on with him, but the area that you want to see changed has to do with sort of
the I hate yous and the, you know, just the yelling of hurtful things.
Right. So sort of hurtful and hateful.
Yes.
Okay. Okay, anybody else? What do you want to take aim on this week, guys?
This is Joelle. I think I sort of started this today, taking aim at it, but it's his morning drop-off. He moved to a new class after the break, and his drop-offs have just been horrendous ever since. And so we need to kind of figure that out with the teachers and work on getting him in the classroom calmly and quietly without temper tantrums.
Okay. And are they happening before you get to the classroom or once you get there?
Generally, it's when we get in the building.
Okay.
And it's just, he's always had kind of separation stuff, a drop-off, and then he rebounds, but it's gotten worse. And, you know, at the point where he's throwing himself on the floor, he's running out of the classroom away from the teachers to come back to me as I'm trying to leave.
And what motivated the change in classroom? Remind us.
Oh, it was a little bit strange. We had an IEP meeting, and the principal,
yeah.
You know, he qualified for special ed, so she recommended moving him classrooms, even though there had been no, like, interventions that were tried in his general ed classroom. And actually, he was doing pretty well, in our view, in the general ed classroom. But we went ahead and okayed it because he has so many more teachers in that room that he's in now that he has the opportunity to have more specialized help, and I can see his academics improving with more one-on-one instruction. So
great.
But at the same time, it's created a bit of a chaos, I think, for him, because with, you know, two aides and two teachers, there's a different person at the door every single day instead of his sweet calm teacher that was in his last room. So I think that's part of the issue, but I need to email those teachers and figure it out.
Well, I think by the end of the call you'll have several actions you may want to take, but this is
mm-hmm.
a great topic for you because this is, you know, step one is take aim, step two is education and information, and today's strategy is really around that education piece. So that's perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, who else? What do you want to
Hi,
take
I'm
aim at?
I'm Cheryl
at
from Virginia.
Hello, Cheryl.
Hey, what I want to take aim on is probably trying to avoid my own triggers and to get curious with my daughter instead of angry or frustrated, because it's her birthday in a couple weeks, and I'm trying to make some changes with a group activity that she does that I won't be the leader anymore. And I feel like I never know what she wants to do or what she's thinking, you know, because for the party, she's given me just a little bit of information, but it's like for with two people. I can't take them to a laser tag place. Well, I guess I could just the two, but that's not really how they work it. So I'm trying to discuss these things with her, and it's very frustrating to me.
So I hear two things here. One is avoiding the triggers, getting triggered, and then really what you're trying to do is get some resolution on her birthday party.
Yes.
Or on how to celebrate her birthday.
Yes, because like with the curiosity thing, instead of judging maybe or going, oh, she doesn't have hardly any friends, you know, to say that, or just to kind of let her do what she wants or what she feels
mm-hmm.
comfortable with.
Yeah.
Because I'm beginning to think, you know, that my idea of trying to really give her a social life or, like, you know, maybe 5 to 10 kids, maybe she doesn't like that. She only wants one or two. I don't know, though.
Mm-hmm. So... and I get that curiosity will also be a really good tool for you today, and I like where you're looking. I want to help you get clear on, you know, when you leave today, what do you want some clarity on where you're going to be looking? And it sounds like it's about how do you work together with her to figure out what the birthday situation is going to be in a way that works for both of you.
Mm-hmm.
Is that accurate?
Yeah. Yeah, we've done, I mean, she's always had a party, but, you know, she invites these, like, two girls that they literally, the only thing they do with her all year is they'll come to her birthday party, and they see her in school.
Right.
And we've kind of had recent conversations about, well, is that really a friend, you know?
Right.
I guess maybe, I don't know.
So what I think I'm hearing is it's important to you that she celebrate her birthday in some social way with her peers.
I'm open to doing it different.
Okay.
That is how we've always done it, but I am open to doing that differently.
Okay.
I just can't tell what she wants, you know.
Right. Okay. So the aim then today is really on sort of finding some comfort with how to approach this birthday situation.
Yeah.
And not be triggered in the process.
Yeah, because I feel like she gets kind of real snippy or angry with me, or she'll say, I don't know what she'll say, stuff that doesn't make any sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
And then that makes me angry or upset because I'm not getting anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like I'm kind of walking on eggshells. It's just so silly, you know? But anyway.
Okay. So we'll get a chance to come back to it. Let's move on. Rebecca, are you still here?
Yes.
Okay. We'll come back, Cheryl.
Okay.
What do you want to focus on?
I am not sure yet.
Okay. Okay. Anything in particular that's sort of nagging at you lately?
No, I mean, I have a meeting at my son's school tomorrow, so I'm ready to hear what they have to say.
Great. Okay. So just being open to that and bringing this skill to that may be perfect.
Right.
Yeah, okay. So let's look at the meeting of the school. And it looks like Joanne has dropped off. Joanne, are you still here? I can't tell if she's having technical problems because her phone's dropped off a couple of times. Okay, I'll get in touch with her after. So anything else before I sort of go into the topic a little bit? So, as you all know, today's topic is curiosity, and it's interesting because it's one of the first topics that we've brought up where everybody has an idea of what it means before we get to it, right? There's sort of a preconceived notion. We all know what curiosity means. It's a part of our regular vernacular. And I remember when I first started coaching, I was surprised to see it listed as a coaching skill. So I want to try to frame curiosity in a slightly different way, and several of you have touched on it, so I don't think it would be a surprise to anybody. But, Joanne's back. Joanne, are you back?
Yes, I am back. I keep dropping out. But
that's what I said. I thought you were having technical difficulties.
I think I am, yes.
Before we lose you again, do you want to identify what you want to focus on this week, what you're taking aim at in terms of a challenge or a struggle area?
The only thing I'm really trying to do this week is find out how you're working and sort of sort out, you know, what I'm meant to be doing. So I'm sort of listening in really and just trying to figure out how it all goes, I think, is the best
Perfect.
Thing I could do just at the moment.
That's totally fine. I want to encourage you to think about what's going on in your family dynamic with your kids and just see if you can hone in on one area where you'd like to see a little change, something that you might want to put some attention to.
Mm-hmm.
And as you heard, it can be anything from, you know, your kids' behavior to getting them up and out in the morning to a birthday party. So anything that you feel like that's an area where that's one of the reasons you signed up for this. That's an area I'd like to see change.
you want me to think about it, or you would like me to discuss it with you?
I'd like you to share one if you're willing to.
Yes, sure. Sorry, I just clarifying what you were actually asking.
That's okay.
Me. I haven't heard much of this conversation because I've dropped out about 3 times.
so sorry.
Yeah, that's okay. It's not your fault. okay, so probably the thing that we struggle with most at home is the homework. If it's something that's appealing, all well and good, but if it's something he doesn't like, it can vary, but a lot of the time he will run screaming away from it.
run screaming?
Yes.
Okay.
Laughing as well, almost. You know, he
mm-hmm.
knows he's meant to do something, and he doesn't want to.
So he's almost making it into a game.
Yeah, sort of.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's something you'd like to see changed, is have him not running away from homework he doesn't like.
That would be good, yeah.
Okay. And I can't guarantee you that you're going to change all of that from today's conversation, but the way this process works is you'll begin to get strategies week by week that you can
sure.
begin to apply to the situation.
Okay.
So at least if you're able to technologically stay with us, you'll leave the call with some idea of how you want to approach it. Okay?
Okay.
So I was just about to go into today's topic is curiosity, and what I was saying is that we all have an idea of what curiosity means, but in this context, in the coaching context, curiosity is more than just being open or curious. Curiosity is really about it's sort of another way to get out of triggers. We talked about triggers last time. And that when we use curiosity, it's a great place to go when you're sort of, you don't know what else to do. And I remember when I was being trained as a coach, one of my trainers said to me, I was doing something, and I looked at her, and I don't know where to go here. She said, whenever you don't know what to do, get curious. Get curious. What is happening over there? And so it's not just curious about how am I feeling or responding, but more importantly, it's what we would call level 2 listening. It's about getting curious what's happening with the other person. Not what you think, but what's their experience? What's their dynamic? What's going on with your child in whatever the situation is? So, Joanne, you've just identified that if it's not an appealing homework assignment, he may run screaming. So you've got a good start there. You already have identified that there's something going on for him because he doesn't like it. So then getting curious might mean going a little deeper into that or talking to him or getting a sense of which assignments, what's causing the reaction, what might he be afraid of, is he clear on the expectations or unclear? So what else is going on for him that is triggering that kind of response? Christy, your example of hateful and hurtful comments. It's a great, curiosity is a great place, and you started with that. Like, what is going on? What's happening for him that he's feeling that? And what's the feeling underneath the comment? Because you know he's not feeling hateful. I think, having talked to you enough, I'm pretty sure that's what you know. Is that a fair statement?
Yes.
So what's the feeling that might be underneath it?
Probably just frustration because he's not getting what he wanted or whatever expectation he had in his mind didn't go that way.
Right. So he could be frustrated. What else might our kids be feeling when they have some sort of a reactive moment? This is for anybody.
Uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm. They could be feeling uncomfortable. They don't like transitions in part because they don't know what's coming and they don't like to not know. That can make them really uncomfortable.
They could be scared.
They could
be scared.
They can be scared. That's right. So example of that, my oldest daughter has a lot of issues with perfectionism and she was not turning in assignments, and it took a while as, you know, curiosity played a big role in the teachers and everything, and we finally figured out that she had made up in her mind that if she did it and didn't do well, that was a failure. But if she didn't do it, then she couldn't fail at it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so she wasn't doing it at all because that way she couldn't fail. And the fact that that meant she was failing the class wasn't as important to her as failing the assignment.
I'm not
making this up, guys. And this is not uncommon. We see this a lot in high school because they get to the point where they sort of hit a wall and they don't know how to get around it. So getting curious about what was behind it, what was underneath it, is what enabled us to figure out what was going on. And that was when we were able to begin to address it piece by piece. So that's one way that curiosity shows up. It's about really putting yourself in someone else's eyes, in their shoes. Sometimes it's just sort of putting yourself there and thinking about what must it feel like to be in this child's situation. You know, and sometimes it's asking them, usually not when they're triggered. You're usually better off asking them at another time. And without judgment, right? But, man, you were really upset this morning. What was going on for you? I felt so bad for you, right? So to bring the compassion into it, so it's not a judgment, but it's a, you know, help me understand. That's where curiosity comes in. The other way that I think curiosity comes in is, you know, as I think about, Rebecca, you're going to a meeting, is to just get really curious about what other people's perspectives are and what they're offering and saying. Is, you know, we have this tendency as human beings to make an assessment, make a determination, and then collect evidence, and then act as if that evidence is correct. We touched on this a little bit last week around triggers. So when you go into a meeting, you want to be as open and curious as possible to understand not only what are they saying, but what's underneath it, what's behind it, what are the presumptions that they might be making, what are the assumptions they might be making, what are the things that are informing their decisions, and to approach that from a place where you are trying to understand, but not necessarily trying to fix it yet. So curiosity really lives in that second part of the model, which is about education and information. It's really about not fixing it, not repairing it, but what do I need to know that will help me understand this situation better so that I can begin to plan and do something about it. So what's coming up for anybody? What do you think about?
I realize that I've never asked my son. Oh, sorry.
No, you go ahead.
I realize I've never asked my son what's going on when I drop him off, and he.
Mm.
I just kind of assume that he just doesn't want me to go, but maybe there's more to it. I never asked him.
Mhm. So there, that's an easy one.
Right.
but here's the thing, is he may not be able to tell you.
Right, which he probably won't.
Mm-hmm.
But at least we can have a conversation about it, I guess.
Right, and he can know that you care.
Right, and I can just validate his feelings at the very least.
Mm-hmm. And then how might you help him identify what's going on? Because for younger kids, you have to help them.
Right. I guess I could give him kind of multiple choice answers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because, but from there, I guess we could also come up with some strategies to get him in the door, and he could be a part of those strategies.
Right. So before you get into strategies.
Oh, wait, don't fix.
Yep. Stay with me with curiosity for a minute. Okay.
Yes.
So asking him, helping him see some different options, you might
mm-hmm.
say, I can imagine if I were you, I might feel this way. Or if I were
mm-hmm.
starting in a new class, I might feel this way. Mm-hmm. Or not what he says, but I might feel scared or a little apprehensive or wonder why I see different faces every day.
Mm-hmm.
So that that sort of validates his experience as you can relate to it.
Mm-hmm.
And lets him know that you're seeing through his eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And then before you get to the planning, you want to get his buy-in, using that curiosity to get his buy-in to, I'd like to help you be successful with this. I'd like mornings to be better for you. Again, the curiosity is about him, not about you. Would you like
mm-hmm.
that? So that then he's bought into the solution instead of it being, we have to fix this because I need you to walk into your classroom easily.
Right. That's good.
So somebody else was trying to say something.
Yeah, it was Rebecca.
Go for it.
I had actually thought about that, the curious piece, but not from the perspective you're talking about, that, like, just looking at my son's classroom behavior in the presence of different teachers. And so I was curious why he may be able to hold it together in certain classrooms but not in others, and what are the different factors of it. But
oh, I love that.
And, yeah, well, and there are so many factors. I'm really kind of still a little bit at a loss. But I did actually discuss it with my son, asked him, you know, why do you think it's harder for you in this particular class? And he said, because I'm there for a really long time.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, you know what, you may be onto something, kid. And so I was like, you know, I'm going to be very curious to see, you know, how they think his behavior and participation has been in the last few weeks. So,
mm-hmm. Well, and that may allow itself to some really easy strategies for changing, just by having that awareness. And that question in a school environment, by the way, I'm curious. It deflates the tendency that administrators have to be defensive.
Right.
Because you're not saying you're doing this. You're just saying, I'm curious. He does really, really well in this class. What environment is happening there that's not happening there? So that you're not attacking, you're not going on the offense.
Right.
But I'm curious can really disengage people's reactivity.
Mm-hmm. Well, it definitely worked on my son because he was all about opening up about it. So, he doesn't usually shut down about that kind of discussion anyway, but I thought it was very thoughtful of him to say that. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's probably his hardest piece of the day. It's the real piece of the academic stuff that he's doing. So I'm like, you know, kind of makes sense. So
it's harder and longer. Double
right.
whammy.
Yep. Yep, for sure.
Well, and what I really like about what you just shared, Rebecca, is that sometimes it's as simple as, like, these kids know. It's like a no-duh. Well, of course I'm aggravated. They want me to sit in a chair for an hour and 20 minutes in a two-block
right.
session, right? Or,
right.
like, sometimes it's sort of obvious to them, and we've been so busy fixing it that we haven't stepped back to get clear about what it is that we're fixing. And certainly in a school environment, the school's tendency is to fix. It's sort of ironic that we joke about kids with ADD being ready, shoot, aim, right? And not taking the time to think. But we often, as adults, particularly in the school environment, are every bit as guilty of the same thing. We start fixing
mm-hmm.
it before we really understand the depth and the nuances of the problem. So who else has a thought? What's come up for you? Who wants a little bit more coaching around this? Don't all jump at once. Christy, do you want to look at some of the hurtful and hateful behavior?
Sure. I do have to get off right at, it'll be 1 o'clock here, so.
Okay, well, and we don't have to. I'm just offering you or Cheryl.
No, I would love to.
Okay.
Yeah, it's the ongoing problem.
Yeah.
I
it's not the first time
well.
It's come up. That's why I'm asking.
Yes, I know, multiple times. Because not just with me, it's a behavior he expresses with every family member. You know, my husband, his sister, my mom.
So when you look at, can you choose one example of when you've seen it happen recently?
Yes. When we're at home and I can't think, I mean, it's happened just the last 2 days. I just can't remember exactly what the circumstances were at home and probably like, we can use bedtime. I mean, that would be a fine example because that happens frequently. You know, he knows what time bedtime is, and at 15 minutes before that, we're giving him warnings that the time's coming, and he'll get upset about something and or not get off whatever device he's on or activity he's doing. He doesn't want to stop.
Okay. So you're giving him warnings. He's not wanting to stop.
And it's
does
not
it happen?
Changed. I mean, it's,
say it again.
The routine has not changed. I mean, we've always, you know, bedtime is this time, and it hasn't changed. And we always expect you to brush your teeth and all that stuff before bed. That's not new. You know, all that stuff is consistent and has been.
Mm-hmm. So based on this conversation, what are you curious about?
I guess what's triggering him to get so upset that he'll just start yelling, I hate you, Mom, I hate you.
What do you think he's trying to avoid?
I guess going to bed or getting off his TV show or game or...
So one of the questions that comes up is he avoiding going to bed or is he avoiding... Or does he not want to stop what he's doing?
I think more likely he doesn't want to stop whatever he's doing.
Right. But you don't really know that for sure. Is there almost always some sort of a scuffle around bedtime?
Pretty consistently, yeah. Not every day,
okay.
But definitely once or twice, two, three times a week.
Okay. And does it matter whether he's on... whether he's doing something beforehand or not?
I don't know.
Okay. So that's a place to look.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what just came up for me. When he's doing something, when it's time for bed, are you generally stopping him from doing something else, or has something else sort of come to a natural end?
Probably having to stop him.
Okay.
Because so he's playing a game. We'll have to stop, you know. Okay, you have 10 minutes till bed. It's time to stop the game.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So it may be that what you're identifying is that stopping something that he enjoys is a trigger for him.
Yeah, could be.
Okay, and maybe not. You'll have to check in with it. But so when you get curious about that, what now you get to go into solution a little bit. Is that, look at the four aspects of the model, right? Is that a shifting expectations, parenting positively, systems and structures, or activating the brain kind of an issue? Let's just assume
probably,
for a minute that it's a stopping issue.
Okay. I would say systems and structures.
Okay.
That's my guess, that I would need to change the structure of the time frame.
Mm-hmm.
On what we're allowing him to do before bedtime.
Right. So what you're allowing him to do, maybe the time frame around bedtime. And what you said, which was really interesting, is that you've been consistent. The bedtime routine is the same, right? And what I'm noticing is that it's consistently a problem. So maybe there's a tweak in the bedtime routine.
True.
Right? Like, so I'm curious about what's not working for him in the time, maybe the time frame or the structure of his bedtime routine.
I mean, it's really, once we get him off of whatever activity he was doing, once we get him into brushing his teeth and getting ready for bed, it goes fine. It's the transition from whatever he's doing to the bedtime routine.
Great. So it's really about transition.
I think so.
And the curiosity here is it about stopping? Is it about shifting? Is it about being rushed? Right, or feeling like there's not enough time, right?
Yeah.
So the place to really look here is what's happening, very targeted in that transition. And it sort of begs the question that came up earlier, which is, what might he have to say about it?
Mm-hmm.
Right, what's his, you know, and he doesn't get the option of saying, well, I really just want to stay up till 10 o'clock.
Right.
You know? That's not a choice that he does get. But when he does, if you engage him and get curious about the situation with him, where are some places you could see he might have some choice?
I mean, what the example I'm thinking of is like playing an Xbox football game. That's something, a transition. When he has to stop playing that to get ready for bed, you know, that's a very hard transition. So maybe letting him choose what time he wants to play that, but end by, you know, 7:30. Or something. If he wants to play it for 30 minutes, he can choose whether he plays it, you know, from 6:30 to 7 or 7 to 7:30.
Mm-hmm.
But giving him more of a time limit maybe before he even starts playing.
Right. So setting really clear expectations that he's part of setting.
Yes, because I haven't. We've been very lax on that.
Well,
it hasn't been
I'll say in your defense is, with all of the weather issues, everybody's been saying this all week. So it is winter. Somebody was just going to say something.
It might have
Sorry,
been.
I feel like I stepped on somebody's toes.
I think it was me. I was just saying that Xbox hasn't always been in the house. We have a little man cave thing in the garage. It had gotten too cold and he didn't want to play anymore. So it just, my husband moved it inside. So he's playing it more than he had been.
So we maybe just haven't set.
I know, that's what I'm thinking.
But not punitively, right? And I'm not saying put it in the garage, but what I'm saying is that when you get curious and understand what's happening with him, you can then give him choices. So he could choose to do it earlier. What other choices are possible?
He could choose to earn more time for the next day if he is compliant.
Okay.
Like a reward for the next day if he's, you know, agreeable when it is time to stop that night.
Okay. What other choices does he have?
We could do something else. He doesn't have to play that.
Right. Could he, I'm just making it up, could he brush his teeth earlier before he starts playing a game so he'd feel like he'd have longer to play the game?
Yeah, that's a possibility.
Get ready for bed and then play.
Okay, that's a good idea.
Anybody else have any other thoughts come up for you about what some of the choices are she might offer?
She could maybe,
Joanne, go ahead.
Maybe offer for him to stay up later at the weekend if he has to go to bed at a certain time during the week and put his game down.
Okay.
Great.
we definitely do as much of the bedtime routine before they actually get to do something fun like that. And also just kind of stopping it earlier so that just knowing it might be a little bit of a tussle to get them to stop. So that, like, if bedtime is really 8:30, you know, they're really having to stop by 8:15 so that everything else is done except for, you know, really going into the bed. So the teeth are brushed, everything, you know, the home, everything's put away, you know, whatever else might need to be done, everything else, you know, the water's by the bed, everything.
Right. Great.
We try to avoid the video games before bed because my son has the same problem. It's such a nightmare to get him off. So we do maybe a TV show after he's gotten in his jammies or something, jammies and brushed teeth, because he's not as resistant to turn it off, and it's easier just to flick it off for us. But and then we read stories after that. But, yeah, the video game is a nightmare before bed for us too.
So that's really helpful. This is what that brought up for me, is to set the expectations to start getting excited about the story time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, I can't wait for you to finish that because I can't wait to read such and such with you tonight. To start making that time, the bedtime, feel appealing in
mm-hmm.
terms of not only the connection but also the activity.
Right, because you don't want to be the story time to be such a drag. It should be fun. That's a good idea.
And the other thing that came up to me was the idea of joining him for the last 5 or 10 minutes of the game, getting in sort of into it with him so that you're encouraging and exciting if you're going to do the game. If you're going to,
my husband it's actually his time with my husband. They do it together. It's like their guy time.
Yeah.
So he is
so
having.
So your husband can start sort of seeding the transition. Oh, we've got to finish this because we've got to stop soon, and I want to wait, make sure we get this done, or I want to help you get to that. So that, but we got to stop soon. Oh, I don't, you know, like let it him not be the only one that's losing out by stopping, right?
Okay.
Feeling your husband's disappointment in not getting to play with him anymore, and I can't wait till tomorrow where we get to play again.
Okay.
Okay. Anything else, Christy? How's that feeling for you? What do you feel like, and this is the question for everybody to address for yourself with your issue, and Joanne, the way this works is we coach one person around their issue, and then everybody's sort of answering these final four questions for the day. What did you learn or get clear about today? So, Christy, what did you get clear about?
Just helping him to engage in the process of choosing parameters, like whether it is setting a certain time frame or doing it earlier or the offering to go to bed later on the weekend, kind of involving him and setting that up so we get buy-in from him before we just put it into place.
Great. Yep, getting his buy-in. Great.
Yeah.
And so how are you going to apply this to your life, or how can you?
Well, I'm going to ask him about it, you know, talk about, okay, buddy, sometimes, you know, when you're time to get off, it's hard to get you to get ready for bed, so we need to make some changes to make this easier, so let's talk about what that looks like and what can we do. And so talk to him about it. And probably
can I speak your language just a little
bit? Write
it
down. Please, yes.
Instead of we need to, how can I help you? I want to help you make it easier. I want to help make it easier for you. So that it's not about he needs to do it for you, but that you're trying to help him.
Okay.
And so what are you committing to today?
To have this conversation with him to try and set some better parameters around activity
okay.
before bedtime.
And what do you need to do to set yourself up for success?
Talk to my husband about it, too, so we can
Great.
Be on the same page.
Beautiful. Cool. Thanks. Thank you for exploring it and sharing it. Anything else
Thank
for you?
You?
Problem. So who else wants to share either what your aha is for the day or what your commitment is? What did you learn or get clear about today? Or what do you want to commit to? Or both?
This is Rebecca. I have my son who's verbal and has ADHD. I have a daughter who's nonverbal. And I'm always wondering why she does what she does. And being curious about that and trying to get inside her head, I think is, it. Honestly, though, sometimes I think it's just as difficult when they do talk. Now, from what everything, you know, that has happened today, it kind of made me feel better that, you know, you're all, even if your child speaks, it doesn't always make it easier to get inside of their head. So, but just it gave me definite clarity on the need for both, you know, to act with curiosity for both of my kids.
That's great. Anybody else?
This is Joelle. I kind of already said it, but I'm just going to work on talking to him more about what's really going on and then trying to get his buy-in to come up with some strategies and see if he wants some help with that.
Great. And what do you need to do to set yourself up for success with this?
I guess just talk to him. I'm also going to email the teachers and kind of get their point of view. Coming from the I'm curious sort of perspective, because I don't want them to feel blamed. I don't think
right.
it is their fault, but even though, you know, the structure of the classroom may be contributing to it, I don't want it to come off as I'm blaming the structure of the classroom for his problem.
Right. Right. So. And having written many of these letters before myself, you might start with something like, I know it must be really frustrating for you in the morning, and I'm really trying to work with him to help it be smoother for everybody. So I'd really love to hear what your thoughts are to help me figure out how to make it better for you.
Oh, wait, I'm writing that down. It must be really frustrating. What did you say after it must be really frustrating?
And I'm trying to work with him to help make it better for everyone. Because I know, I mean, you just want to be compassionate for the teacher's experience. This has got to be really frustrating for you, and I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
I'm really trying to help. So can you help me help you?
Okay, that's good.
And there's an article on the site that you may look for about how to talk to your kid's teacher.
Oh.
That may be a little instructive. It's not exactly about this. It's more about guiding your teacher to support your child, but I think it'll still be a little bit helpful.
Great, I'll check that out.
Anybody else, what you want to commit to or what you got from today? Joanne?
I do try to talk to my son quite a lot, and I do have some ideas what makes him do some of the things he does, but I can always keep going at it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, is there anything you need to do to set yourself up for success?
I guess talk more to him.
And I think I might say ask more.
Yeah.
Yeah, is that we tend to look in terms of conversations, and sometimes when we ask our kids their opinion about something, they're almost shocked.
He doesn't really like being questioned, though, so if more of a conversation with him, it works better.
Great. Yeah, so what do you think? Yeah, so when you make it more rounded, what do you think about it instead of, you got to tell me this. Okay. All right. Anybody got anything else for this week before we wrap and see each other online? So thank you for those of you who dropped off and came back and dropped off and came back. Thanks for your persistence. And I hope that you find great ways to use curiosity, not just with your kids in the coming weeks, but I think you'll find that it works really well with spouses and with relationship dynamics in general, is just really taking that time to think about what's motivating someone else. So have a good couple of weeks, and, you know, we'll see you online. We're there if you need us. And Joanne, if you want to stay on for a second, if you have time, if you want a little acclimation, I'm happy to talk for a couple more minutes if you feel like you could use it.
Okay.
Bye, everybody.
Okay. Bye. Thank you.
So, Joanne?
Yeah, hi.
Hi. Welcome.
Thank you.
Fill me in just a little bit on where you're coming from. You're calling from Washington.
Yeah.
Tell me a little about your kids' situation. Who do you have?
I chatted with Diane. Diane. Last week, so she probably, I don't know why, probably would have been better to have had the conversation with you, but anyway, that's where it
was. No, it doesn't matter. It's fine. We share.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to get a little name, rank, and serial number.
Sure, yeah. My point was that I sort of talked all this through with her, but I'm happy to go through it again with you. So I have three children. My middle one, Liam, is 9, and he was diagnosed with ADHD just over a year ago. He, they classed it as being borderline to mild, and a lot of the time he's perfectly fine. He likes to chat, as I was just saying. He likes to, you know, sit down and talk to me, but he struggles with the concentration more than the hyperactivity. At school, he's not disruptive, but, you know, if it's something he's finding difficult, he can sort of shut down, especially with the homework.
Can I stop you for just a minute, because I just realized something. Hold on.